From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of June 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenorum at T-Storm Weather in Chicago as we close out our program. And along the way, we'll hear an update of the agricultural news from our Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, including information about that proposed buyout out of Smithfield by a Chinese production and processing pork company. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report, of course, on this Thursday afternoon. Let's take a look at what the numbers look like in Chicago. From the CME Group, the nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.97¾, down 3¾. September at $7.05½, 3½ lower. And December at $7.20½, down 2¼. The hard red in Kansas City finished up the nearby July and the harvest month at $7.38½, down 4¾. From the corn pit, nearby contract there, July futures, $6.63¼, 2½ cents higher. September for the day, $5.78, a settlement price up 7 cents. And December futures at $5.48¼, 8 cents higher. March contract in the corn pit up 6. Actually, the December was up 6 and not 8. The March contract was up 6 as well at $5.58¾, and the May at $5.66. That's up 6 cents. July futures of next year at $5.72¾, up 5¾. July beans at $15.27¼, down 4¾. August $14.49¾, a nickel lower. September's gained or were up a penny and a quarter at $13.55¼. November beans at $13 and nickel and three quarters, up 5¾. And January futures, $13.10¾, up 5¾. Soybeans, a meal that is, at $4.54, down $1.90. And soybean oil at $48.16 on this Thursday afternoon, finished 14 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the livestock numbers look like at this hour. June cattle at $120.45, up 20 cents. August futures at $120.25, 75 cents higher. August feeders at $144.65, a nickel higher. In September at $146.90, up 5 cents. June lean hogs at $97.30, 65 cents higher. July futures at $95.82.5, $1.25.5 higher. The outside markets show the crude oil trading at $94.71 a barrel, 97 cents higher. The Arbobo wholesale price of gasoline at $2.84.9, that's up 2 6/10. And ethanol trading at $2.48.8, that's down 3 7/10 of a cent. The difference between those two is spreading out nicely again now at 36 1/10 of a cent. It had narrowed all the way in below a dime. Natural gas at $3.84¼ is 15 7/10 of a cent lower. And the gold futures on the day at $1,415.80, up $17.40 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the National Weather Service and the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see some scattered showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny skies, otherwise 77 for the high. Tonight, scattered showers mainly before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy otherwise in 56. Tomorrow, isolated showers, mostly cloudy in 73, and Friday, partly cloudy and a low of 51. On Saturday, sky should clear out, mostly sunny, a high of 76. And Saturday evening, partly cloudy in 59. Sunday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 77 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It comes to you on this Thursday afternoon. It is the sixth day of June.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's check now the futures markets. Along with us today is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
What are you hearing about conditions on the ground in the Midwest? It seems to me that there may be a lot of acres that are either underwater, at least some ponding, and or have not been planted yet.
Well, I think the consensus, at least for now, seems to be kind of centering around maybe a 3 million acre loss in intended corn acres. Now, whether it's 2.5 or 3.5, I think that's kind of where the chatter is. Now, the question is like I said, off of intended corn acres, and I'm not too sure USDA's 97.3. million intended number that they released in March is correct. So for the time being, though, this is probably the last week that we're going to actually plant any corn. It'll be touchy probably planting corn after this week once you get past, you know, next Monday is going to be June 10th right away. So either farmers will opt for the prevent plant and or maybe try to put some beans in there. Probably a lot of that depends upon how much chemicals they've got on the ground and what they can do. But I think that's the general consensus, at least for now. We got a lot of beans yet to plant, but your distant weather models are hinting at a warmer, drier type period coming at us. So I think the trade is starting to feel somewhat comfortable that at least the soybean crop will get planted too. Whether or not we see any increase in acres, I think that's questionable. I personally don't expect to see a big increase in acres. I think we're just going to see a lot of acres just not get planted this year due to the extreme wetness that we've had this spring.
Tell me about the intended numbers. Again, you mentioned that you didn't think USDA number was quite right. Were you higher or lower?
Well, I don't know if it's – I don't necessarily want to say it's wrong. I just think the restrictions and the budget cuts and everything that USDA has had to go through over the last few years, you know, and then an intended number, I'm not too sure how valuable a March 1 intended number really is.
What do you think the end of June number will look like in that case?
My guess is we're going to see lower – I think both numbers will be lower on the planted. That would be my guess.
94?
Well,
that's okay.
Probably.
Well, how about this? Let's go about it in a different way. So you suspect maybe 3 million not get planted. We're not sure where the intended was. But if we harvest 86, 87 or something like that, we could, if we don't plant as much as 4 million and we have 155 bushels, we'll probably still have enough grain around, I would think.
Well, that's where the trade is torn at. The trade realizes that new crop supplies the potential supplies have been shrinking. Whether or not you want to use less acres, whether or not you want to use less yield potential, they're shrinking from USDA's May numbers. The problem is that most in the trade feels that USDA's demand numbers on the balance sheets are highly optimistic, and therefore that's why the market hasn't really went into any kind of panic stage at this point. We have seen a nice rally in November soybeans coming off of their late April low, from basically 1197 up to this 1331 here that we saw last week. So we've had a nice run on beans. We've had a nice run on corn from you know, 512 up to 574, and then we've set back some now. But that's where the trade's at. They kind of feel that we can afford to lose a billion bushels in corn. We could probably afford to lose a couple hundred million in beans and still be okay on the supply side because our demand has deteriorated so much.
What are the charts telling you about the marketplace?
I've got new crop corn and new crop November beans going higher. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see continued supply tightening. Now how tight is tight? You know, we got to go through the summer growing season. But today's action from a chartist point of view is quite impressive. Both markets were lower early in the overnights, and they both came back and closed higher with hook reversals to the upside. I think if you get some good, solid follow-through activity here to finish out the week tomorrow, I think it all lays the groundwork then for another leg up in prices here over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I think that's probably going to be the assessment of what actually gets planted over the next 2 weeks, and then what kind of summer weather pattern begins to get teed up for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
All right. We'll talk to you again more on Commodity Week. We'll give you a phone call tomorrow about 4:30 in the afternoon.
I'll be there.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Hey, don't forget, if you'd like to hear what Dan had to say again, or you want to hear anything that happens on the air here at willag.org, you can find it on our website, of course, at willag.org, or you can just dial this number. It's 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail, so any phone works. Give it a dial at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. We update it with some analysis and the latest numbers. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a few key lawmakers have raised some concerns about the sale of Smithfield Foods to Shangwei International. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan, issued a statement raising questions about Shangwei's food safety record. Stabenow said, quote, "The agencies responsible for approving this possible merger must take China's and Shangwei's troubling track record on food safety into account." Stabenow says that Shangwei International admitted 2 years ago to putting illegal additives in its food products. Meanwhile, Senator Charles Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, raised other questions. He sent a letter to the Justice Department questioning how the sale could decrease competition for the pork industry and the effect of limiting consumer choice. U.S. regulators have sued a unit of U.S. ManCorp for allegedly failing to protect customer funds embezzled by the jailed founder of PFG Best, the collapsed futures brokerage. The charges filed yesterday by the CFTC against U.S. ManCorp's U.S. Bank unit revolve around its oversight of bank accounts used by PFC Best founder and chief executive Russ Wasendorf Sr. to siphon client funds from the firm over a period of almost 20 years. U.S. Bank said in a statement on Wednesday that the charges were without merit. The CFTC alleged U.S. Bank knowingly facilitated Wasendorf's transfers of millions of dollars of customer funds to pay for his private jet, his restaurant, and his divorce settlement. Monsanto officials still do not know how glyphosate-tolerant wheat plants appeared in a fallow Oregon wheat field last month. Rob Fraley, chief technical officer for Monsanto, said in a news conference that since the company was told of the wheat plant discovery, it has been testing stocks of much of the soft white winter wheat seed used in the Pacific Northwest region. The field in question has been fallow since the 2012 harvest. The farmer discovered genetically engineered wheat plants after normal field sprayings of glyphosate to clean up weeds and volunteer plants. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization today says that rising global food demand will push up prices 10 to 40% over the coming decade, with the cost of meat rising faster and that of grains more slowly. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning.
About estate and succession planning, you know, it's really important for farmers, landowners, and small business owners to understand how that's done. I'll have more on a day-long event scheduled for the 24th of June in Bloomington, Illinois. It may be that you've already written out a will, but is it really an estate plan? Does it explain the reasons behind the decisions? Does it put forth a way forward for the farm or the business? These are important questions tax and estate specialists will address Monday, the 24th day of June in Bloomington, Illinois, says Gary Hoff from the University of Illinois.
It's more than just for the active farmer, okay? I own land. It's been in the family for 40 years. I want my family to be able to hang on to it for the next 40 or 140 years, even though I work off farm and there's someone else doing the farming. We still want to keep it in the family.
The family is the most important part of this very personal decision. It is one many do not fully consider.
We're going to start off talking about the family dynamics. Family dynamics is one of the things that I don't see given a lot of thought to. What do I mean by that? Well, I've got a couple of children farming with me, and I've got some other children that don't farm with me. How should I plan my estate plan around that to make it work for everyone?
The problem this creates comes after death if the inheritance discussions haven't taken place.
If they only find out that Sonny is inheriting all the farmland when they read the will, and the rest of the children get nothing or very little, there may no longer be any family Christmas dinners after Mom and Dad are gone. Mom and Dad need to have that discussion. They need to tell everyone why they have set it up that way.
And so much more. Those interested in learning more about estate and succession planning can sign up for just $40. The price includes the materials and the noon meal and is made possible by Farm Credit. Visit the Illinois Tax School website for all the details and to sign up, look on the left-hand side of the page for the Family Farm Legacy event. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check in now on the cash grain market. With us from Windsor, Illinois, at TGM is Matt Bennett. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You got all your beans in?
You know, we planted everything but some river bottom ground, which fortunately we didn't plant because it was underwater for about a week. But for the most part, we've got everything in we could get in, and everything's pretty well up. So.
I think in this part of the world, East Central Illinois, where we are, we've had about 2.5 inches for the last 10 days or so. I was home in the Springfield area last night. They've had 10 inches, and they must have had 10 inches from Decatur to Springfield and all the way down to St. Louis. How about where you are?
We've been pretty fortunate. We haven't had quite that much. This past weekend, you know, right around here, around my hometown, we had 1.1 is all we had, which was pretty good, and then a little bit last week as well, you know, and so we probably had similar to what you've had, maybe a little bit less in the last 10 days.
Yeah, here's the thing that's kind of funny for me. I made that trip across to, just straight west from Champaign to Springfield, and usually Decatur's just a wet hole anyway. It's mm-hmm. it's always wet, and yep. it just seems that way. It gets boggy there.
Mm-hmm.
And normally what happens as I make the trip is that the crops here are behind those in the middle of the state. That is the case, but usually the crops there in the middle of the state look maybe 10% or 15% better than what they do here,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a complete opposite this time around, that the crops in this part of the world look really good, at least the corn does, but things there are suffering just a little bit at this time, I think.
Right. You know, you talk to some agronomists, and they'll tell you, you know, your area down into our area here, pretty good shape. They're talking several parts of Illinois and Iowa, or, you know, they're calling them a train wreck on corn. It's just a bad situation because you just get hit with rain after rain after rain, and obviously you lose some ponds, but you obviously also lose a lot of nitrogen. And so there's just a lot of decisions to be made here coming up, and it's not an easy situation for farmers that had a perfect stand coming out of the ground, and we're feeling really good after that May 15th to 20th time frame. So things are a little bit different now than what they were then.
Yeah, I suppose that replant decision will be tougher, maybe tougher than the prevent plant decision for a lot of the folks in the western and northern part of the Midwest,
yep.
I guess.
No doubt about it.
What do you see in the cash grain market?
Well, we haven't seen a whole lot of change in here. I mean, we're, you know, we're looking at still moving a fair amount of corn out, and we've still got some bean commitments to fill. People are still hunting corn and beans, but I haven't seen any great big pushes out there either.
Does that surprise you at this time that they really aren't hunting really hard and furious?
Well, I think it's kind of one of these situations where we're going to see who breaks first. There are some people that are still have some needs to be met now. I think there's going to be a little bit of trying to figure out stuff that gets imported, how far it could come inland and make it, you know, basically cost efficient. And so that's going to be a kind of a jigsaw puzzle to put together, and I do think that there's still a chance for some pushes going through here, but I wouldn't be holding out for anything enormous considering there's a fair amount of stuff to be imported according to what most people are telling us.
What are your bids there for the day?
Cash corn, $6.94, and fall, $5.26, cash beans, $15.61, and fall, $12.80.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey. Your dream, our promise.
It's National Applesauce Cake Day. The first references to applesauce appeared in late 14th century Europe. On this day in agricultural history in 1882, Henry Seeley of New York City received the first American patent for an electric iron. He called this device the electric flat iron. It used a carbon arc to create heat, but it was not all that safe. A decade later, hand irons using electrical resistance were introduced by Crompton & Company. In 1899, James Ricks patented a rubber overshoe for horses. The patent says the shoe prevents a horse from slipping in sleety weather and is applied over the horseshoe in common use. The shoe was formed from rubber and canvas and was fastened to the hoof by a strap. And in 1932, the Revenue Act created the first gasoline tax in the U.S., 1 cent per gallon of gas. The 1 cent rate was maintained till just before the U.S. entered World War II, when as a result of increased national defense requirements, the tax was increased. Prior to the 1932 Act, there had been reluctance on the part of federal officials and Congress to impose the tax at the federal level. Instead, they preferred to relinquish the revenue source to the states to help them finance their revenue needs. By the way, Oregon was the first state to levy a gasoline tax in 1919. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago is with us to look at the weather forecast. Let's start with tomorrow and on out. What do you see for our part of the world?
Well, temperatures stay quite cool for the next several days. We're in a cool pattern that has been in place for about the last 5 days, and that's not going to break until sometime around Sunday, Monday. At that point, it will turn warmer. So the first piece of the puzzle is that we have cool temperatures over the next several days. The only other issue that's going on is that we do have a few showers that are exiting now, but we have a pretty decent chance for rain across the northern plains and the northern half to two-thirds of the Corn Belt beginning Saturday and then ending Sunday and into Monday. That does include a large portion of Illinois, especially as you head further to the north toward the Peoria and Rockford areas. So that's the other issue that we have going on in the near term, is it cool and then a little bit wetter, unfortunately, after this really wet spring.
Yeah, there are many fields that still need to be planted, particularly with soybeans, but some with corn. I made a trip from Springfield to Champaign yesterday. My brothers have been from Springfield down to St. Louis, and there's an awful lot of ponding, a lot of water, saturated soils. You don't sound as if we're going to get to dry out soon at all.
Well, no. We have a few issues that are taking place that are all favoring rain, unfortunately. I mean, number one, we just figured out that preliminary data shows us that the region of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa just experienced its wettest spring in at least 119 years. These records go back to 1895. And as of right now, 2013 is ranking as number one. The only way that could change is if May turns out to have not been quite as wet as we think, because that is preliminary. But regardless, it'll end up number one, two, or three as far as wet springs go across the heart of the Corn Belt. So that's why you're seeing all that ponding. As we move forward, we'll see a large area of heat develop from Nebraska and south, beginning as early as this weekend and more so next week. The issue there is that as we start to move that heat or attempt to move it across the Corn Belt, we believe that what will happen is that heat will have a real difficult time expanding far to the north, exact opposite of what happened last year. And what will happen instead is that as heat tries to move further to the north, it will interact with that wet soil moisture and increase humidity. And once you increase humidity, you slow the progression of warmth. But that keeps the north-south temperature boundary right across the wettest areas. So once we get into next week, we think we'll see waves of energy move along the edge of heat, which is going to be right across wettest areas. And because of that, we just think this wet pattern is going to continue for a large area all the way through next weekend. It's not going to rain every day, but thunderstorm clusters in different parts of the Corn Belt every 1 to 2 days. So this is not a very good situation. We don't need any more rain. but it looks like more is coming.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, and we appreciate your work there at T-Storm Weather.
Thank you.
That's agricultural meteorologist Mike Tenor from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website if you can. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of things, including a link to our Commodity Week Twitter feed. At the moment, you'll find ways to sign up for the Legacy Family Farm event that's scheduled by the Illinois Tax School. That's the estate planning event. You'll hear from Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I, and you'll see what Gary Schnittke has to say about Prevent Plant. It's all on our Will Ag website in our Twitter account, @CommodityWeek. I'm Todd Gleason.